Well, turn with me to the passage then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So winning costs something. It always has. And it always will. Winning costs. There's sacrifice involved. There's pain involved. And Paul is in the business of winning. He wants to win. But he doesn't want to win something for himself. He wants to win others. He wants to win for the glory of God and for the blessing of other people, for their joy. Well, this morning we'll look at verses 19 to 23. In the verses leading up to it, Paul's talked about preaching the gospel. He says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Even if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge." Paul could have taken a salary. Paul could have taken material payback for the work that he did for the gospel, but he chose not to. He didn't want it to be a stumbling block, because his ultimate aim as an apostle, the work that he'd been given to do as an apostle, was to win people for Christ. He didn't want anything to get in the way of that. And Paul goes further in verses 19 to 23. He says, I know it's not going to be easy, but I will do everything that I can within the framework of the gospel to get a hearing for this message of Jesus. Everything I can, to anyone I can, in any way that I can. So what will we see here this morning? Well, there's three things. We're going to see what he's doing in winning people. We're going to see how he's doing it, and we'll see why he's doing it. There's a what, there's a how, there is a why. And the message title is Gospel Flexibility, or simply Winning People for Jesus. Winning people for Jesus. What is he doing then? What is he doing in our first point? Verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." So there's one word which answers the question, what is he doing? That word is win. Win. That I might win the more. That I might win people for Christ. Now the word win is used in lots of different places in the New Testament. It's used in Matthew 18. If you remember when we looked at church discipline, we said if someone has an offence against you, or you have an offence against somebody, go and talk to them. Go and put it right. Because if you do that, you will win your brother. What it means is they will then again become your possession. Or as it were, you will have victory. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the word win is used again, where the Apostle Paul says, "That I might win him, that I might gain Christ, to be found in him." Securing a possession, securing Christ, and the victory that we have in him, salvation in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, to win Christ and to be found in him. It's also found in 1 Peter 3 about the wife who has a non-Christian husband. And Peter says, "Live such a godly, humble, gracious, kind, caring way before your husband that he will be won for Christ." So, three instances there of how the word is used here. And Paul uses it here so many times. Verse 19, "I might win the more." Verse 20, "To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win the Jews." Those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those under the law. Those who are without law as without law, not being under law without God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are under the law. "To the weak, that I might win the weak." "All things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So it's win, 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 win. What's he thinking about? He's thinking about winning people for Christ, isn't he? That's the big dominant thought we have here. He changes it to save at the end of verse 22. That's the word used to save a slave from a slavery. He's about redemption. He's about winning people. We heard about Eric Liddell. I can't imagine the pain he went through to win that 400 metres. But he wanted to win for the glory of God. He threw absolutely everything into it. Collapsed at the end of it. Paul says, I want to win. I want to win people. I want to win people for Christ. Well, let's ask ourselves a question this morning. Let's apply it to our own lives. Do you and I really want to win people for Christ? We do, don't we? We do want to win people for Him. We do want to see people coming to church. We want to see people coming to the prayer meeting. We want to see people enjoying God's words. But none of that will happen unless they are won for Christ first. Their hearts are won for Him. They trust in Him. They give their hearts and their lives to Him. So for Paul, this is his consuming passion. To win, to win, to win, to win, to win, to save. Now, is this in line with what Jesus taught? What did Jesus say about this? Well, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. We have Simon Peter walking along, and we have Andrew as well. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He sees them and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you catch people. This is the work that I'm calling you to do. This is what you will be about. We're only a small group now. We're only a handful of disciples and me. But that is not my plan. My plan, Jesus says, is that we will grow. We will expand. And one day, every nation will hear the good news about Christ and the church. The church will grow and expand. That is the Father's will. That is the great commission that is given to the church. We're not supposed to just walk down the streets in our city or in our neighbourhoods and see people walk by. To see them. Without hope and without God in the world, and just to allow them to move on through their lives without a concern and a care for their eternal salvation. We are to care for them. We are to be burdened for people. Romans chapter 10, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That was the Apostle Paul's heart. That is the heart. God, build that heart within all of us, within every Christian, in an increasing measure. On Wednesday at the prayer meeting, we thought about the growth of the church in France. From 1960, there was about 1% of Bible-believing Christians, 1% of the population. Sorry, 1960, it was much less than that. It was much less than that. Around 100,000 people. It's grown to around 700,000-800,000 people. Now, it's a huge growth in the last 60 years or more. In the UK, around 3% of the population are evangelical Christians. 3%. There is so much to do. Fishers of men. Paul says, I want to win. I want to win. I want to win people. I want to win them for Christ. You know, one of the bits of evidence that we are saved, that we are really born again, is that we have a desire not just to keep this to ourselves. We want to give it out. We want to share it. We want to tell other people about Jesus Christ, the salvation that we have. We want to share our testimony. We want to bring the news that we've received, the news of our salvation, to others. It's an evidence of new life. We may think, well, I struggle with this, and I struggle to talk to people about Jesus. I struggle to tell them about my salvation. We can all struggle to do that. We are different personality types. Some of us are people pleasers by nature. And we've talked to people about Christ, and we've been rejected for doing it. Are we reluctant to do it? We don't like doing it. Because we make ourselves vulnerable. Yeah, others of us maybe don't mind that so much. We're bolder. But we can maybe go a bit too forceful with it. God give us the control of the Spirit. God give us that reverence for Christ, that fear of Him, that love for Him, which outweighs the fear that we might have for other people and what they may say and what they may do. That can be an objection as to why we don't do it as much as we ought to. Paul says, I want to win people. Paul says, I want to win people for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says there, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And as Christians, as fishers of men, fishers of people, we're to be persuaders. I don't know if you remember the band The Persuaders years ago. We're to be persuaders. Persuaders for the Lord Jesus Christ. We fish for people, don't we? We fish for people in the workplace, in our neighbourhood, in the city centre, on the beaches, wherever we can. People who were brought up with a religious background and not, brought up to believe in Christ or not. As Christians, we ought to have a pool or a pond that we fish in. And in that pond, there may be members of your family who are not Christians. There may be your neighbours. There may be work colleagues in that pond. But what are you doing? You want to fish them. You want to bring the good news to them. You pray for them. They're on your list. You bring them to God in prayer. They're on your heart. So let me ask you this morning, who is in your pond? Do you have a pond? And who is in your pond? These are challenging things to all of us, I think. The issue isn't that you fish them for this church. It's that you fish them for Christ. And they'll worship Him whichever church is closest. Bible-believing church is closest to them. We fish them on the beaches. Evangelistic work in the schools, wherever it may be. We pray. So Paul is, firstly, what is he doing is in this business of winning people for Christ. We should be in it too. We should be in it too. Secondly, how does he do it? What is his strategy? What is he willing to do to win people that I might win the more? Does he have a strategy here? Well, he says in verse 19, I have made myself a servant to all. That's the word for slave. I've made myself a servant to all. So what is he saying there? He's saying in this work isn't about me. I will serve people. I will do what I can for people. I'm under authority. I have a purpose. I am about others. And Christian, your life is about others. It's about Christ. It's about His glory. It's about serving others. Paul says, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. A servant. It doesn't mean necessarily that he was the beck and call of everyone 24 hours a day. Nobody can live like that. He means he had priorities. He says, I want to win people for Christ. So what's interesting here as well is that there are two different people groups that he's talking about in verse 20. We're thinking about how does he do it? What is his strategy? He's saying in verse 20, he says, to the Jews, I became a Jew. Now hang on a minute, isn't Paul a Jew? Well, he's a Jew, isn't he? He's an ethnic Jew who was brought up a Jew. But he's saying here, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. So really, Paul is thinking of himself in this third category. This third category. To the Jew I became a Jew. He doesn't see himself as a Christian Jew who has to flex to win Gentiles. He sees himself as a Christian who has to flex to win Jews or to win Gentiles in his approach. So what is he doing? He says, I am a servant to all. I am going to be flexible. I am going to be adaptable. I'm not going to stand on my own national heritage as a Jew. There's something bigger. There's something more important, more glorious, an eternal perspective on people's lives. To the Jew, I became a Jew. He doesn't want to bring any stumbling block at all before his work of evangelism and bringing people to Christ. He's willing to make adjustments. He's willing to be flexible. He's willing to put aside his habits, his preferences, to take this gospel to his generation. Lay down his rights. When you read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, you see Paul in his preaching to Jews and God-fearing Greeks. He's preaching to them. He goes to the synagogue and he appeals to them on the authority of Scripture. And he preaches the messianic promises about Christ being fulfilled to them. He goes to where they are. He speaks their language to them. He appeals to an authority that they will recognize in his approach. And Acts 17, he's in Athens. And he's preaching to Athenians. And he's preaching to Greek philosophers. He doesn't appeal to the authority of Scripture. He appeals to the authority of creation. And he talks about God in whom we live and move and have our being. And he preaches God and he leads them to Christ. But the way that he deals with these two different people groups is different in his approach. It's really interesting. He gets to Christ. The message is the same ultimately in the cross and the way of salvation. But the way and the approach that he takes is different. There's a different strategy that he takes. I wish we had time to work through this a bit more. But what does he say here? He says, those who are the Jews, I will win. I will seek to win for him. If I've got to go to a feast, a Jewish feast, and if I've got to sit with them, I will do it to open the door to the gospel. I will do it. I'll speak the language. I will eat the food. I will keep the feast day with them in order to preach Christ to them, show them that it all points to him, that he's the substance of it all, that he's the fulfillment of it all. He's the glorious Messiah King, the King bringing in a kingdom. If Timothy needs to be circumcised so we can go into the temple, so we can witness to the gospel together, so it removes that stumbling block, I'll do it. I've got the freedom to do it. Timothy has the freedom to do it. To the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win the Jews. If I've got to shave my hair, which isn't a bad thing, of course, I'll do it. Yeah, I take a vow, a Nazarite vow. Why? Because I want to remove any stumbling block. I want to connect with the Jewish people. I want to bring to the Jews their Messiah and his power and glory and richness and fullness. It's a no-brainer for me, he says. To the Jews, I'll become a Jew that I might win the Jews. What's the second example? He says, to the Gentiles, to those who are without law, as without law. So what are you saying, Paul? Are you saying that you'll be a sinner to reach the sinners? Are you going to be without law here? Are you going to be immoral to win immoral people? No, he's not going to do that. Not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ. I'm bound by the laws of Christ, by serving Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I'm going to do and live in the way that he pleases me. I won't break his laws, but I'll go and I'll sit down with them. I will eat with them. I won't say, have you washed your hands? Yeah, I won't talk about idols. Idols are nothing anyway in the world. I will sit with them. I will love them. I will speak Christ to them. I won't stand on ceremony with them. I will associate with them. But I won't break the ethical principles of Christ in the kingdom of God. That is his standard. The Jews, the Gentiles. Paul sees himself in this third group. To those who are weak, he says, I became as a weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might save some. So the cultural gap could have been a Jewish one. There's a cultural gap with the Gentiles. But he's willing to cross the cultural gap. He's willing to cross that cultural gap, that bridge, to go and to take the gospel to everyone he can. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they believe or where they live or their ceremonial law or not. He is willing to cross that bridge, to take that step, to take the initiative. Jesus did this. Paul is following the example of Jesus. Remember in John 4 at the well with the woman? The Samaritan woman, and Jesus is there. It's hot. She's on her own because her life has not been a happy life. She's traumatized. She's ostracized. She has a tragic background. She's broken. She's an outcast. She's isolated. She's despised by her community. Her life is a wreck. But Jesus didn't go in and throw the law of God at her. He went in, he said, can I have a drink? He met her where she was. He showed her kindness, compassion, and grace. She was uncomfortable. Hang on a minute, you're a Jew, you're not supposed to have anything to do with me. No, but he crossed the cultural divide. He walked over the bridge to her and met her where she was. Why? Because he wants to win her. He wants to win her soul. He's fishing for her. One of the dangers we're in today in this country, the Christian church is in today, is that we can be within a circle, we can be within a bubble, we can stay as it were as an island. And we don't build the bridges into the community. Or build the bridges into the different people groups that there are in our society. Today, to take the gospel to them. We can have our things, we can have our events. But our neighbours, our work colleagues, people in our family, they're not willing to cross the bridge to come to us. It's an alien world to them to be in church, to some people today. It wasn't like this 50 years ago, but it is today. Paul crossed the bridge, the cultural bridge. We need to cross the cultural bridge to step into their world, to meet them where they are at, to listen, to love them. Church and the world are on different trajectories, aren't they? Hudson Taylor built bridges when he was in China, wasn't it? He didn't wear Victorian England outfit when he was in China. He did for a while, and then he gave it up. Then he dressed like a Chinese person in his hairstyle and his dress because he walked across the cultural bridge. That's a missionary context. I'm not saying in one sense it is different, but there is a principle here of walking across, as long as it doesn't break the law of Christ. Are we willing to walk across the bridge to the Muslim community? Are we willing to walk across the bridge to the Hindu community? Are we willing to walk across the bridge to the agnostic majority culture that there is? because we want to reach them. Paul says, I want to be all things to all men. I have this flexibility. I mustn't sin according to the law of Christ, but I can be flexible and adaptable with the great aim. It's worth it. The cost of doing it is worth it. How does he do it? He strategizes. He adapts. Thirdly, why does he do it? Verse 23. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Why does he do it? Because he wants them to enjoy the blessings of salvation, just like he enjoys the blessings of salvation. And they can enjoy the blessings of salvation together as they partake in them. I'm doing this for the sake of the gospel. I want to see people come to Christ to enjoy those blessings with me, and I with them, and we together in it. It's right to do things together in corporate evangelism. But it's right to do the everyday evangelism. If Christ is on our hearts, if it's gospel, if we feel the warmth and the glory and the love of God and Christ, if we're built up in the faith, if our hearts are warm for him, then the truth will come out naturally to others. Oh God, by your Spirit, make it more and more in our lives. Acts 8, it talks about the gossiping of the gospel in the everyday life. The gossiping of, hear what the Lord has done for me. Sometimes we're so blind or so dull in heart that we don't recognize the greatness and the glory of what the Lord's done for us. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts, open our eyes to these things. Some of our flames are dim. Kindle a flame of sacred love within that mean, that poor altar of my heart. That's our final hymn in a few minutes. Some of our lights are covered by Christian buckets. Yeah, we can be so busy doing stuff that our lights are not shining in the world, that we don't have the time. Maybe we need to reevaluate how we spend our time and what we give our time to. I know someone who's joined a running club that they might meet with non-Christians, walk across the bridge to be a witness. It takes time, it takes effort and sacrifice. But it's worth it to partake in the blessings of the gospel with them. Jesus comes to town. He sees Zacchaeus the cheat. He's up the tree. The Pharisees think, well, Jesus is going to spend time with us. We're the religious people. But he doesn't. As he walks down that road and he sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, the Pharisees would have thought, well, he's the bad guy, Jesus. What will he do? Will he call fire and brimstone down from heaven to destroy him? What does Jesus do? With that huge gap, with that huge divide, this man who is so different, not been in the synagogue for years, despised, isolated, rejected by his society, excluded. Jesus walks across the bridge to Zacchaeus. Come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to come to your house tonight. And Zacchaeus, with all his tax collector mates, are there, and Jesus speaks the truth. He calls them sinners to repentance, and he's a changed man. There's joy in heaven at this man coming to repentance. The blessings of the gospel are there with him, and there's joy in the heart of Christ. There's joy in the heart of others in seeing this man brought to salvation. Are there things that we need to reevaluate in our lives and say, well, I don't have time for people. And we say, well, why don't we have time for people? Are there things that we might be doing that aren't necessarily huge priorities? Do we do things with a view to winning people? Do we go to places with a view to it? Do we think about our church building and our premises issue? we need to do that with a view to winning people as well, don't we? Well, may the Lord Jesus help us in these things. Christ came into this world and he died for sinners. He died to make us clean, to give us a righteousness, to give us peace with God. The question is, do you have that peace? Have you believed in Christ for yourself? Have you come to trust in Jesus Christ? Have you believed this gospel that Paul is speaking about here, that I'm speaking about this morning? Have you been won for Christ? If you're a Christian this morning, he's won you so that you'll serve him, so that you'll bring him glory in every aspect of your life. Everything that you do is to be done to the glory of God, and this task of soul winning is part of that life. He didn't save us to spend hours scrolling on our phones. Spend hours doing just our own thing. He set us free to serve him, to serve others. May God help us to keep this in the right place in our list of priorities, to bring him glory. So three things this morning. What does he do? He's in the business of winning. Are we in the business of winning? May God help us by his Spirit. What else is he doing? How does he do it? He strategizes. He's willing to cross the cultural barrier to others. How do we do that? We need wisdom in how we do that. And thirdly, why does he do it? Because he wants to see them enjoy the blessings of salvation and to enjoy it with them. That I may be a partaker of it with you. May God help us. May God shape us. May God show us where we need to accommodate and be flexible to others. May God give us the passion for others. May God show us that this third position, that we might win others for him, for his glory. May he bring them into the net through us, that we might share in the blessings, that we might give him glory. May God help us. Amen. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us grace, that you would give us wisdom, that you would fill us with passion and love for others, that you would give to us the heart of the Lord Jesus, the heart of the Apostle Paul. Oh, we pray, forgive us if we may not have made this the priority that it ought to be in our lives. Show us how we might be flexible and adaptable, that we might bring the gospel and walk across that bridge. Lord, that we might know the joy of others coming to Christ in faith and enjoy those blessings with them. Oh, Lord, we pray. Work these things in our lives for your glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our final hymn is that hymn, which is a wonderful hymn. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle the flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let's sing this together. Now may the God of peace, who brought our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.